now we are going to be going on to part 3 of the anger management series which we have been discussing. And today I'm going to be starting off by discussing miracles. Now, how does miracles fit into the entire topic of anger? As we go along discussing the miracles of the different awliyaullah, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will come to realize it is because of their sabr and because they control their anger and they suppress the anger that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with these kind of miracles. And also a lot of times you will see in these life stories which we are going to be mentioning what difficulties they were put through, what adversities they were put through by people, sometimes their close family members, and what would happen was they would not vent the anger, they would suppress the anger and they would control the anger. That's why they became the illuminates of their time, they became the buzruks of their time. Through self-training, many have attained miracles, and the miracles of the awliya, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are definitely true. To deny the miracles performed by the awliya leads one to kufr. Of course, the awliya-i kiram cannot perform these miracles on their own accord, but they take place through the kudra and the power and the decision and the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not the doing of the creation, but is exclusively the work of the creator. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi has explained that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a pious servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala among the Bani Israel once asked a man to lend him 1,000 coins. That man asked the saint to bring a witness, to which he replied, Allah is enough for a witness. The man again asked him to bring forward a person to stand surety on behalf of the saint, so that in case he does not pay up, the money would be demanded from the one who stood surety. To this the saint replied, Allah is responsible and stands surety. On hearing this, the other person said, you have spoken the truth, and immediately gave the pious man 1,000 coins. The pious man took the coins, crossed the river, and fulfilled the work for which he needed the coins. Finally, the day on which he had promised to repay arrived. When he reached the river bank, he became worried as there was no boat to take him across the river. Anxious to fulfill his promise, he thought of a plan. He made a hole in a piece of log, placed 1,000 coins into it, knocked a nail to secure it, and put it in the water to float across. Placing his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he made dua, O Allah, let the coins reach the owner. The winds could have changed direction and steered the log elsewhere, but this was a miracle that it reached its required destination. The creditor was waiting for some boat to arrive with the buzruk at the bank of the river. Suddenly he noticed a piece of log floating towards him. He picked it out of the water, thinking he would take it home and use it for firewood. When he hit it with an axe, the coins fell out with a note which read, I could not get a boat in time, so I am sending your coins in this manner, putting my trust in Allah. Soon afterwards, the buzruk also arrived. On finding a boat, he brought another 1,000 coins with him, just in case the first 1,000, which he had secured in the log, might not have reached the owner and were lost. The owner said that he had received the coins and explained how he found the log and what had happened. The buzruk went back very happy, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this miracle. Although miracles of the awliya are true, they are not a requisite for being a wali. Some foolish people think it is compulsory for every saint to perform miracles. For anyone to be a wali, he has to have piety. Obedience to the sharia and sunnah is absolutely essential. Even chastity is not a requisite that a wali will never sin. Yet, this is a requisite for prophethood. A wali, friend of Allah, can become weak and get involved in sin. But to remain a wali, that there is a condition that he repents and asks for forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even if a person, if a wali is chaste, it is not to say that he will never sin, because this is a wali can be weak and sometimes get involved in sin. But to remain a wali, there is a condition that a person must repent and ask forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person lived in the company of Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi for 10 years, but did not see any miracle taking place at his hands. Example like flying in the air or walking on water, etc. Disappointed, he decided to go away, explaining his reason to Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayh. Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi asked him if he had ever seen him doing any action against the sunnah or sharia in those 10 years. The man replied in the negative. Upon this, Hazrat Junaid rahmatullah alayh sighed and said, if a slave has not displeased his master for even a moment in 10 years, can there be a greater miracle than this? Hazrat Mullah Ali Kali rahmatullah alayh writes that steadfastness upon the sunnah and sharia is more virtuous than 1,000 miracles. So from this we learn a very, very important lesson, that to classify a person as a buzruk, as a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a pious person, it is not necessary that we must see any miracle being performed on his hands for this to say that now we are convinced he is a pious person. And remember, strict obedience to the Sharia and strict obedience to the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is essential. Sometimes certain people, they do some miracles even though they are not even Muslims, and that is given a different terminology in Islam. We are not going to go into that right now, but it is also done through the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as I was saying, that by controlling one's anger and tolerating the harm which comes to one from the creation, many a buzruq attain the blessings of miracle. Hazrat Shah Abul Hasan Kirkani rahmatullah alayhi, he used to ride on a lion, bringing with him wood from the jungle on it. And if sometimes the lion would become troublesome, he would whoop it with a live snake. A person from Khurasan went to Kharkan to take the pledge, the bay'ah, at Hazrat's hands. When Hazrat's wife asked this man why he had come, he related his reason. She was very ill-tempered, and upon hearing this, she recited, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, and said, who in this world can know the condition of this buzruk better than me? I am with him day and night. He is a crafty deceiver. How did you get involved with him? Have you no brains? She spoke so bitterly that he cried and thought to himself that his trip had been wasted. However, the people of the locality urged him to go into the jungle and meet the sheikh and not form any wrong opinion about the buzruk, as his wife was an ill-tempered woman. When he reached the jungle, sure enough, there was Sheikh Abul Hasan Khirqani rahmatullah alayhi seated on the lion's back. Walana Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayhi says that through kashf, divine inspiration, it transpired to Hazrat that this person had heard his wife's bitter talks and was grieved. Hazrat laughed and asked what the matter was. This man replied that your wife is a very bad-tempered woman. Why did you marry her? Hazrat replied, the miracle which you see in front of you, meaning that I am seated on a lion while using a live snake as a whip, was attained by patiently bearing the harms caused to me by this woman. In the words of Maulana Rumi rahmatullah alayhi, if my patience would not tolerate the burden of her ill temper, then do you think this lion would bear my burden and become my slave? It is the way of Allah that when He blesses one with a gift, He does so after training of the self, that is islah and nafs. So the very, very important point we learn here, and I'm going to go off a little while with regards to tolerance when your spouse is giving you some difficulties, because this is not going to go unrewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When your spouse is giving you difficulties, remember that if you make sabr on this, you are going to be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now look at this Mawlana here. He was such a great sheikh. People were people were coming from far and wide to take bay'ah on his hands. He did not vent his anger against his wife. He did not say that enough is enough, I can get any woman that I want. Anybody will be prepared to give me their daughters in marriage, I'm going to divorce you. No, rather, he did not look at it in terms of the dunya to say that I have to endure her difficulties for so many years. He looked at it in terms of the akhirah, that how much reward I will get for the sabr that I am going to make upon the difficulties that she's putting me through. And look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him, such a great miracle that he is riding on the back of a lion, whooping it with a live snake. And this all is a result that he did not vent his anger, he controlled his anger, he channeled his anger, and he made sabr upon the difficulties that his wife put him through. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with. Hazrat Mirza Jane Jana was a person of a very sensitive nature. When the enemy shot him, somebody asked him his condition, to which he replied, there is no pain because of the bullet, but I am inconvenienced with the smell of the acid. If he saw a bedstead placed incorrectly, he would get a headache. He could not sleep the whole night. The ruler of Delhi once came to him, and after drinking water, he placed the cup crooked on the water pitcher. Hazrat developed a headache on seeing this. The ruler then asked Hazrat if he would like an attendant for himself. Hazrat replied, until now I have managed to control myself, but now I must tell you that you put the water cup crooked, through which I have developed a headache. How can I accept an attendant from you? He will be just like you. So Hazrat Mirza Jane Jana was divinely inspired like this. If you marry a certain ill-tempered woman in Delhi, then we will make you famous in the whole universe. He agreed. People of Allah are always seeking ways whereby they can sacrifice themselves for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a beautiful illustration for the men out there. That this man was given divine inspiration by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if you marry a certain ill-tempered woman of Delhi, then we will make you famous in the entire universe, meaning for your dini work, for your sacrifices for deen. Not to mean that he was after name and fame. Really what he was meaning, what he was after, was the underlying thing mentioned here, that you will become famous because you will serve deen so much. So his intention was to serve deen. And look, He actually readied himself that no problem, I'm going to marry this ill-tempered woman just so that I can make sabr upon the difficulties that she's going to put me through, so I can control my anger, so I can be accepted for the service of deen. And by being accepted for the service of deen, I will become famous throughout the world, although that is not what I desire. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted a person such a wife who is troubling her a lot, or even on the flip side of the coin, such a husband who is troubling a lot, then do not rush into the option of divorce. Think of it in terms of the akhirah. How long can we learn? 60, 70 years. That 60, 70 years cannot be compared to one day of the akhirah. So think, this is like an investment for my akhirah. Without me having to perform salah or zakah, not to say you mustn't do that, but without having to perform any optional acts, that's what I'm trying to say. You are getting this investment of the akhirah just by living with such a spouse. One day, Hazrat Mirza Jane Jana sent his attendant home to fetch his food. When the attendant reached Hazrat's house, he called out at the door to Hazrat's wife asking for the food. So this ill-tempered wife began insulting her husband, saying, "Why did he not ask for it earlier? I am waiting here for hours with his food to be taken, and there he is having his malfuzat and acting like a great spiritual guide. He is causing us such inconvenience. Does he not realize the rights of Allah's servants? He is not a sayyid, but he is a deceiver." And along these lines, she carried on to badmouth her husband. The attendant who had come for the food was a native person. He drew out his sword, but then he realized that this woman was his sheikh's wife. So he put the sword back and told the woman, "You are my sheikh's wife, therefore I have left you, otherwise I would have finished you off." He then went back to his sheikh and asked him why he had married such an ill-tempered woman. Hazrat replied, "That foolish person, don't you see Mirza Jane Jana's name reigning on the earth? Thus I have achieved by the blessing of tolerating this woman. I bear patiently the harm she causes me. Allah has blessed me with steadfastness upon this tolerance, then also rewarded me for it. Friends, after bringing iman, to remain firm on it, this is called steadfastness, as it is stated in the Quran. There are many who remain awliya for one moment, and the next moment they turn into devils. For a few days they are like angels, but when the nafs overpowers them, they become devils. When anger overpowers them, they do not think who they are and who is the Allah. Then they even forget that a little while ago they were making tilawah of the Quran Kareem. Last night they were performing tahajjud and even reading ishraq. In anger they change into a shaitan. They say what they want to and even start beating up people. Why is such a person called a shaitan? The reason is because shaitan is created from fire, and it is stated in the hadith that anger is also created from fire. Allama Alusi rahmatullah alayh quotes a hadith in Ruhul Ma'ani that save yourself from anger because it is a flame of fire which burns the heart of the son of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam explained through two proofs that the matter and substance of anger is made from fire. One is, do you not see that the veins of the angry one's throat swell up? And the other is that his eyes get red. The eyes show that there is fire in the heart, and the eyes are like glasses through which one can see the fire inside the heart. So anger is definitely fire. In anger, people do such actions which cannot be practiced otherwise. People have even sworn at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sharia in anger and become kafirs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us, al-iyazu billah. In anger, one fights with one's parents. It is harsh to one's wife and oppresses her, causing her deep sighs and lamentations, which will come back to haunt you one day. In anger, the wife becomes insolent towards her husband. A son fights with his father, a student fights with his teacher, a disciple fights with his spiritual guide, an ummati fights with a Nabi al-Iyazu Billah, and a bondsman fights with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-Iyazu Billah. Through this dangerous illness, one is deprived of his elders' kindness. One who respects his elders will be rewarded by thy kindness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the tawfiq to fully submit to our elders and to tolerate whatever they tell us. There are many incidents that took place where, because of anger, homes have broken up. Just recently, an 80-year-old man came to a certain alim and told him that his son-in-law had divorced his daughter. She had 8 sons and the 9th child was on the way. Imagine, if someone makes such a mistake in his young days, one will say that he has done it due to immaturity. But this was done in old age. This person is generally known as a pious person. Now he is suffering and getting attacks because his little children have been separated from him. In the state of anger, one does not realize one's own unworthiness. He now regrets, this person regrets his foolish act of chasing his wife away forever, the result being that his children will always curse him and think of their father as a tyrant who divorced their mother in old age. The entire family has now been separated. But what can he do now? There's no use crying over spilt milk. But the lesson here that we need to learn, that this is the results of anger. Friends, anger is very, very dangerous. Therefore, do not hesitate to remedy it. Let us think and ponder that this petty matter and the person divorced his wife. The day the young son was ill, he did not go to work. So the father beat him, saying that he was telling a lie. Whereas one is not justified to suspect or think ill of another without a valid proof. Thereafter, the mother intervened by telling the father to stop hitting the son. So, naturally, mothers love her children more than the father, because she is the one who carries them in her womb for 9 months, then delivers them with so much pain, then breastfeeds them with her blood, which is changed into milk. Thus, being the mother, she pitied her son and said to her husband, "Do not beat him so mercilessly like a butcher." Upon this interference from the wife, the husband flared up with anger and shouted, "Why must you interfere when I am fixing him up?" And because of this, then he gave her 3 talaqs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. It was as if he had fired 3 bullets at his wife all in one shot, as a result of which 2 homes were destroyed, and now they are suffering from all the panic attacks and anxiety attacks, because now he realizes the seriousness of what he has done, and he realizes the seriousness of the nature of his crime. Dr. Abdul Hayy rahmatullah alayhi relates an incident about a certain young man who once entered the masjid crying bitterly while making dua. So Dr. Saab became very affected by the sight of this young man and took him to a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At that very instant, an old man with poor eyesight and feeble shaky legs walked out of the masjid. Due to old age, his legs were weak and uncontrollable, as a result of which he accidentally bumped into the young man. The young man, whose appearance resembled that of a great saint, suddenly jumped up and fumed, "Oh, you unworthy blind fool, can you not see where you walk? You are so old, yet you hurt me." His hands are spread out in supplication before Allah, while his tongue is engaged in harshly swearing the poor old man. Dr. Saab, who had witnessed the entire scene, was shocked at the young man's attitude. He said, "I thought him to be a great wali, but he turned out to be Shaitan's grandfather." Therefore, reformation of the self is of utmost importance for one's success. Many people believe that one can be reformed merely by reading some great books. If this was the case, then why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send messengers to people? If it was solely for their guidance and reformation by means of cleansing and purifying their hearts. Therefore, first the Nabi fulfills this duty, and thereafter his deputies follow suit. One cannot understand books without a teacher. This is a process of teaching and learning. From the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people of Allah are created. In the commentary of Surah Fatiha in Ma'riful Quran, Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi has written, "To understand the book of Allah, it is necessary to have the people of Allah. The fuel of strength for acting upon the book of Allah will be attained from the bosoms of these pious people. If a Nabi is alive during that time, then this knowledge will be attained from his bosom, otherwise from the bosoms of their disciples." Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangoi rahmatullah alayhi said, "Why do you think I became bay'ah to Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki? It was not to show Haji Saab masalas. This I will show to Haji Saab. I took bay'ah to gain the full strength and tawfiq to act upon everything that I have learned." Because Haji Saab was not a qualified alim, whereas Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangoi, he was a very, very senior alim, a very, very senior ustad. So he's saying, "I have taken bay'ah on him, not so that I can teach him masalas which he does not know. No, I want to get the fuel of strength and the tawfiq to act upon everything that I have learned." So the point he's making is that although I have the knowledge, I want to go and look for that means, which will be the means of me getting the divine assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to act upon the knowledge. Just imagine, such great ulama are not independent of help from the people of Allah. Therefore, friends, for one's reformation, contact with a reformer is absolutely necessary. It is not enough merely to have friendship and companionship with them, but to keep them informed about one's spiritual condition is the actual purpose. Then whatever advice they give, one should obediently act upon it. The rights of companionship are not only feeding the people of Allah with good food and then to imagine that one has fulfilled their rights, but actually it is informing them of one's condition and thereafter obedience to their advice and sincerity. Therefore, we will go on now to prescribe a treatment for removing anger. Whenever you get angry, immediately recite, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim," and move away from the person who is the cause of your anger. If possible, make wudu and perform 2 rakat salah and make dua. Also drink water, because water is a cure for anger. I will just repeat this. Whenever you get angry, immediately recite A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Ar-Rajim. Move away from the person who is the cause of your anger. If possible, make wudu and perform 2 rakat salah and make dua. Also drink water, because water is a cure for anger. If possible, make wudu and perform 2 rakat namaz and make dua. When a fire breaks out, water is used to extinguish it. If you are standing at the time, then sit down. And if you are sitting, then lie down. In this way, you are getting further away from taking revenge. If you are standing, it will be easy to run towards that person for taking revenge. But if you sit down, you will become a little lazy to get up and take revenge. And if you lie down, you've already come 3 stages down. Now you will think that in order to reach the person who has angered you, you will first have to sit up, then stand, and finally run to hit. Therefore, it is wiser to leave him and let him go. Using water will cool one's temper. After this, think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment. Allah has more power over me than I have over that person. Just as I am angry at someone today, what if Allah becomes angry with me and has to punish me? Then what will I do? Think of Allah, His power and His punishment. When an angry person does not think of these things, it proves that he has become ensnared in the clutches of shaitan. Whether people claim him to be a pious person or not. Because when a mu'min has forgotten, how can a mu'min forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at this particular moment? So we must be always thinking with this, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is angry with me, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the right to be angry with me because of all the disobedience that I have perpetrated against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so how would I want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to treat me? Obviously with mercy. So similarly, that is how I must treat the person who I am angry with. We are always hopeful of Allah's mercy upon us and wish that Allah will forgive our faults on the day of Qiyamah. Yet we refuse to show mercy upon His creation. Here we become totally heedless. If anybody troubles us, we do not find rest until and unless we take revenge. Allama Abul Qasim Qushayri rahmatullah alayhi says, a friend of Allah does not take revenge. And one who takes revenge can never be a friend of Allah. One who does not know how to treat Allah's creation with mercy, how can he be hopeful of the mercy of Allah upon himself? Therefore, Allah revealed a verse which says that if you want Allah's mercies and forgiveness for yourself, then forgive the faults of His servants. Even if one commits the same mistake of getting angry over and over again, then too he should not lose hope. After one's anger has subsided, he should hasten to make amends. Sometimes you hear people saying that, I know I shouldn't get angry, but after that now the damage is already done. No, always try and make amends, and always try and ensure that you are moving closer and closer to amending your anger and trying to rectify the situation. Hakim al-Ummat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi prescribed a treatment for a person whose anger always overpowered him. He advised him that when his anger cooled down, he should ask forgiveness from the one to whom his anger had been directed. He should apologize to him in a gathering, because this method will break his pride. It will also prevent him from losing his temper with people for fear of being disgraced in an assembly or in public. When anger overpowers one, immediately divert the mind towards one's own faults and shortcomings. Ask ourselves, how would we like to be treated by Allah if He were to punish us for our wrongdoings? Would we not like that Allah should forgive us? In the same way, just as we love to be excused and pardoned, we too should become merciful and forgiving towards those who have wronged us. After all, the person can never have wronged us to the extent that we have sinned in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet, what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's treatment towards us? Time and again, He has spared us through His mercy and tolerance. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had wished, He could destroy us right now. Allah is so kind and tolerant towards us, and we are dependent on His forgiveness always. Then why should we not forgive the person who has harmed us? Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi has said that one should set aside some time daily, ponder over one's own faults and tell oneself, I am the worst person on earth. In this way, his pride will be uprooted. Then one will not become angry, because anger is created from pride. At the time of anger, one should think in this way, that I am the worst of all people. Then what right do I have to get angry at a person better than myself? Also, by reciting the following wazifa, one's anger will decrease. That is prescribed by Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, that read the whole Bismillah 21 times after every namaz and blow over oneself. Recite Bismillah 3 times and blow into food and water before eating and drinking. We are discussing in the morning to see the virtues of Bismillah. Here is another virtue, that 21 times after every namaz and blow over oneself, and read Bismillah 3 times and blow into food and water before eating and drinking. Inshallah, Allah's mercies will be manifested in just the same way as sand appears shiny and white when the rays of the sun shine upon it. Once the rays disappear, the sand looks dark and black again. By reading this wazifa, the rays of Allah's mercy will descend upon our hearts and cool our anger. For any specific illness or problem, one should choose a name from among Allah's great names and recite it abundantly. The effects of these holy names will surely affect its reader. For example, Ya Salamu is read on someone with a serious illness. Its effect will bring peace and safety from the disease for the sick person. If one is afflicted with poverty, then you read Ya Mughni and Allah will bless him with wealth. Similarly, the effects of Ya Rahman and Ya Rahim. Recite Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim in abundance to remove anger. However, read only as much as can be tolerated, for sometimes by reading excessively, a type of dryness affects the mind and it may also prove too hot for the brain. So when it comes to this kind of azkar, we should always consult with the ulama, with the mashayikh, with regards to when we should recite and how often we should recite. And therefore we should always realize that today we are weak. By nature, physically we are weak. Thus, by too much of wazifas, some people have even become insane. Therefore, do not read any wazifa more than can be tolerated. And also take advice in this matter from a spiritual guide. If one cannot manage to read Bismillah 21 times, then read it 7 times. And if one cannot even do it that much, then read it 3 times. Because nowadays people are too busy and seem to have no time for reading. Once a businessman said to an alim that he was so busy, he does not even have enough time to die. So the Buzroob asked him that if he thought that the angel of death was going to ask his permission before extracting his soul, then he should tell Malik al-Maut that he was far too busy to die. But even then, whether he be ready or not, he will certainly pull his soul out of his body. Like, you know, great wrestlers have succumbed and fallen down in the face of death. No plans helps to save one from this reality. Coming back to the topic, also recite Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim in abundance. The same should also be recited if one is in any difficulty pertaining to debt, children, not being able to get married, or even for trouble from enemies. In this case, one should recite Durood Sharif at the beginning, then recite Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim 500 times and read Durood Sharif at the end again. Inshallah, one's problems will end within 40 days. It is narrated in a hadith that when a person says Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends an angel to the reciter to ask what he wants, as Allah's special mercies are directed upon him. Thus, by reciting this particular wazifa, one's anger also cools down, while worldly tasks get accomplished as well. If one cannot recite it 500 times, read it 111 times. And if this is also difficult, then read it 70 times. If not 70, then 7. And if not 7, then 3. And if not 3, then once only. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name is so powerful and great that by reciting it just once with love and sincerity, one will derive great benefits. What can be more easy than this? Only a lazy person would refuse to do even this much. Once Hazrat Thani rahmatullah alayhi wrote to Maulana Abdul Ghani Pulpuri rahmatullah alayhi saying that he should recite Durood at-Tunjina 70 times. Then Maulana Abdul Ghani Pulpuri replied that it will be very difficult because he teaches 16 lessons daily and therefore he gets very tired. So Hazrat Thani rahmatullah alayhi wrote back and advised him to then recite it only 7 times. For every durood, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises 10 in return. So in this manner, he will get the reward of 70. Some elders have also prescribed the recitals of Wal-Kadhimin al-Ghayth, 7 times and blow into water, and then afterwards to drink this water for cooling one's anger. The reading of Durood Sharif is also very beneficial against anger. At the time of anger, one should recite A'udhu Billah in full. However, do first look to your left and right, because nowadays people will fight or even kill you for reading A'udhu Billah upon the anger. They may think that you are referring to them as shaitan by reciting the ta'awuz, where it is actually recited in order to seek protection in Allah from the accursed devil. And also another wazifa which has a lot of effect is La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. By reading it in abundance, one attains tawfiq and ability to make amal. The words La hawla mean that there is no power to stay away from sins, and wala quwwata means there is no power to do good. Illa billah means except with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus, by reciting this wazifa, one attains the treasure of tawfiq, for it is a treasure from the treasures of Jannah. Muhaddithin have written in the commentary of La Hawla that by means of its recitation, one attains the tawfiq of staying away from sins and the initiative towards the doing of good deeds, thereby finally reaching Jannah. Jannah has true treasures, meaning the performance of good deeds and abstention from sins. Both will be attaining by reciting La Hawla. If perchance one feels an urge towards sinning, one should immediately recite La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. But should anyone overhear you reading these words, you may fall into trouble, as they may think that you have called them shaitan, thus these being the customary words used against shaitan. So just be careful that you do not say it very loudly. And if you hear somebody else saying it, then try and explain to that person that, you know, if you hear somebody else saying it, then do not take the wrong impression. Anyway, coming back to the subject of anger, one should forgive the mistakes of others by thinking of Allah's mercy for His creation. Would we not want Allah to have mercy upon us and forgive us on the Day of Judgment? Therefore, we should also overlook and forgive the mistakes of Allah's servants today, so that we too can secure His forgiveness tomorrow. One of the signs of the pious servants of Allah is that they go through some difficulties themselves, but refrain from causing difficulties to others. Who are the pious servants of Allah, the Abrar? They are those who would not even harm an ant. And when they witness the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are greatly displeased and pained. These are the two signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pious servants. We should make sure that no harm comes to anybody from outside, especially in the state of anger, which can be so overpowering that one may badly hurt another person. Usually the strong thrive upon the weak by giving vent to their anger on the latter. But when a stronger person comes along, then one's anger cools off very, very fast. Somebody once said to Dr. Abdul Haysan, Dr. Hassan, that in the state of anger, he becomes mad. Dr. Saab laughed and said that the anger is a shrewd thing. It is not mad, because when a stronger person when one stronger than the angry one comes along with a gun or knife in his hand, then the angry one quickly comes to his senses and runs for his life. Allah's special servants control themselves even in the state of anger. How powerful was Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu was salam? The Quran states that the Qibti died by just one punch of Musa alayhi salatu was salam. Once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu was salam to strike his stick upon a rock. The rock broke into two, and from within it came out a tiny little insect with a green leaf in its mouth, eating its sustenance. Yet there was no hole in the rock for it to have come out to look for its food. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was showing Musa alayhi salatu was salam how He sustains His creation. The above incident is recorded in the commentary of the verse وَمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا إِنْ رُوحُ الْمَعَانِي بِعَلَّامَ عَلُوسِي. Inshallah, we will be just concluding here with the anger management program. Inshallah, we will continue with this discussion. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq.